The following presentation is brought to you by Priority One.
Heard so much this evening from Rabbi Bender, Rabbi Asser, Rabbi Weinberger, Rabbi Ginsberg. Heartfelt words, words giving us a glimpse of the Rosh Hashiva's chesed and sensitivity, of the Rosh Hashiva's commitment to Talmidim, his love, his dedication, and his intimate personal involvement with so many hundreds and thousands of Talmidim. I think that the Olam has a sense of who this giant was. I don't know what's left except maybe to try to catch up a little bit with a bit of audacity and a lot of pachad, to try to catch up this gadlus and maybe where it emanated from and maybe what we can take from this great example into our own personal lives. The Rosh Hashiva was multifaceted in such an expansive and intense way. The commitment to Godless and Torah was almost fanatical. There was nothing that could stand in the way of a Bocher and a younger man continuing to learn for so many years. It used to be the joke about how long it takes to get smicha in the yeshiva Chofetz Chaim. And after that, there used to be 6 years of kollel. Now maybe you do it the opposite way. It was years and years and years. And these years were often accosted by so many opportunities to do mitzvahs, to do arbosus Torah, to do artzolas nefoshes, things that came liyodeinu mamish biyodeinu lasos in together, sometimes almost the efshar yedei acherim, and it came to the idea, to the desk of a Rosh Yeshiva whose life was equally committed to Arbot Sestera. As you heard previously, Arbot Sestera was what it was all about. That was his essence, that was his being, that was his purpose in life, that was the Messiah that he had from his father, from the altar, and that was what his entire existence was about. And he had to balance this commitment to the Godless in Torah and this commitment and passion for Klal Yisrael and helping Klal Yisrael. And we used to hear so many times what he heard from his great father. Ein mevatlin tinoike shel beis rabon afilu lebinyan beis hamikdosh. If Eliyahu Hanavi will come and he will tell the tinoike shel beis rabon or their Rebbe that I need your assistance in rebuilding the Beis HaMikdosh, the answer will be, sorry. Ein mevatlin tinoike shel beis rabon. And Reb David used to point out, what would the world look like with a binyan Beis HaMikdosh, the Hashoras Hashchino, the Kohanim Ba'avodosim, Leviim B'shirom U'Lezimrom, the Sanhedrin Agobu B'lishkas Agozis, Leman Tilmad Lehiro Es Hashem Elokecha Kol Hayomim. Everything is there. What a hashpo in the world. And Tinoike Shel Beis Rabon, sorry. They're learning. It can't be mavakim. And that mesira that he had from his father, despite that commitment and that sensitivity to the needs of Klal Yisroel. And his father, I think, used to say that who decides what's together, Tinoike Shel Beis Rabon? Then that you have to ask the Rebbe. He'll tell you who's Tinoike Shel Beis Rabon. But it took such an intense commitment to Torah and such a great emulas chachomim and such a pashtus of accepting the directives of Chazal despite such an intense passion for Arbot Sas Torah. Where did that come from? Such integrity. I remember standing in the Rashiva's kitchen in Eretz Yisrael in Bet HaKerem. And Rabbi Yosef Farber, Zecher Tzadik Livrocho, who was one of the Gedolei Talmidov of the Altar von Slabodka, one of the Chaverim of Reb David, the Rosh Yeshiva's father. And he was very close with the Rosh Yeshiva over the years, came to visit, lived in his house so often. And I remember he said to me, he said, "Ich will euch etwas sagen. I want to tell you something. Sind the Chofetz Chaim, since the Chofetz Chaim, hab ich nicht gesehen aza Ehrlichkeit. I never saw such Ehrlichkeit, such integrity. Ehrlich in Lernen, und Ehrlich in Midas, und Ehrlich in Musser, und Ehrlich in Geschäft, Ehrlich in Learning. Integrity in learning, in Midas, in Musar, in business, in everything." He says, "This is your Rebbe." Where did that Gadlus come from? Such Ehrlichkeit, such integrity, such Taras Halev. And that integrity permeated every aspect of the Rosh Hashiva's life and of his operations. The Rosh Hashiva used to be fond of telling us that what goes on in the business office upstairs, which used to be up two flights a little bit, is mashpia on the bismedrish downstairs. That integrity is all connected, and it's a line that runs through from one to the other. It's such an intense commitment. Where did that come from? Something like we heard before that Reb Moshe said about couldn't happen to the Rosh Hashiva. Where, what? It's beyond. Since the Chofetz Chaim, never saw such a thing. And a dedication to Talmidim, as you heard, a dedication to Talmidim with Mesiras Nefesh Mamish. I remember, it wasn't once, it wasn't twice, it was so many times. Shem Zechav Bissel, I'm even a little bit ashamed, that it was 20 minutes, maybe even 10, before Lichtenstein. And the Rebbetzin Olea HaSholem, Erev Shabbos, is looking for the Rosh Yeshiva. And she can't find him. He hasn't come home yet. What's going to be? Of course, after a while, she got it. She looks outside, and down the block, he's sitting in the car, talking and learning to a Talmid, oblivious to everything that's going on around him. This was day, this was night, this was breakfast, this was lunch, this was dinner, this was walking to the yeshiva, this was walking from the yeshiva. When he came to daven, there were Talmidim who would walk out just to the house just to be able to walk him or to drive with him in the same going back. He didn't have a minute to breathe. And it was b'sever kon in yofis. But it was with more than that. It was with a depth of commitment. And it wasn't just commitment to say, and it wasn't just commitment to repeat. It was commitment, as his father described what a Rebbe is. Not one who gives information, who feeds information to a Talmud, but one who creeps inside the head of the Talmud to see the way he's internalizing information and maybe to straighten it out a little bit so he gets it a little clearer. And not just to make sure that he has this information, but the goal was to create an independent Ben Torah, an independent Lamdan who can think on his own. And giving him over the tools of learning was the essence of his life. And the tools of learning took days and hours and years of arguing back and forth and interactive learning and hours and hours and hours until finally he was convinced that the Talmud understood, or that he creeped in enough into his mind to see how it was going. What the Radak says, when it was mentioned before, when Elisha heard of the Elio Anovi was Zoila HaShomaimo, so he said, "Ovi, Ovi, Rechev Yisrael Uporosho." And the Radak says, Talmidim are called Bunim, and the Rebbe is called Av, because he's Moilid Seichel HaTalmid. He literally gives birth to his Seichel. He creates his Seichel. He builds, he nurtures, he forms. And that's what we felt the Rosh Hashiva was doing day and night, night and day. I'll never forget the time. It was after my first year in the Yeshiva. I was about 17 years old at the time. And there was some discussion and temptation to want to leave. Whatever the circumstances may have been, there were a few Yungalite at that time in the Kollel, not that many. And they used to speak to me to try to convince me. And they kept telling me, no, don't leave. The Rosh Hashiva's Blatshia. The Rosh Hashiva's Blatshia. The Rosh Hashiva's Blatshia. There's nothing like it in the world. You'll never see such a thing. You'll always regret it. He'll teach you how to learn. He'll give you the whole thing. How could you possibly leave? There's nothing else. This is the only thing. And I was young, but I was a little bit skeptical. I wasn't that gullible, I thought. And I was a little bit disturbed by the intensity of the brainwashing effort on the part of these Talmidim. And that summer, I had the opportunity to visit the Rosh Hashiva in the mountains. He was in Ferndale, in a bungalow someplace. And I don't know how, I don't know why, but I basically asked him the question. I said, Rebbe, if I listen to these Jungalite, I have to come to a very strange conclusion. Is the Rosh Hashiva the only one who knows how to learn? Is that what they're telling me? And do you endorse that analysis? And mind you, the Gedolei Hador, Reb Aaron, and Reb Moshe, and Reb Yankiv were still alive at the time, and so many others. And frankly, the Rosh Hashiva had my life in his hand at that moment. Had he answered in the affirmative, I would have been out of there for once and for all, forever, and never to look at this place again. Baruch Hashem, he didn't. He said, Chas v'sholem. In fact, he looked at me like, you know, what's wrong? He said, my father had one unique gift, and that was a gift of a word which to me was strange at the time, of pedagogy. He was adept, especially skilled, at giving over to Talmidim a derech of learning, at creeping into their minds and seeing how they understand it, at analyzing with them text so they could learn how to read the Loshon, so they could follow a sequence, so they could check out the consistency of a concept, so their thinking should come from within the text and not superimposed from without, and that it should be logical and sensible in Svorah, and fit with all facts and information, habaminas and maskolas, kashis that others ask and tirutzim, that everything fit perfect consistency as a testimony to its truth. And that the Rosh Hashiva wasn't prepared to compromise for anything. And when the yeshiva was small at times, and when there weren't that many Talmidim, and maybe some were a little bit attributing that phenomenon to the approach to learning, this is the way. This is the only way. This is the Messiah from my father. This is my life. And this is what I will do until I don't have anyone left in that yeshiva to listen to me. Where does all this strength come from? Where does this commitment to Mesirah, this commitment to Talmidim, this commitment to a mission in life, this commitment to integrity, where does it come from? And Rabbi Zeus Torah was not shy. The Rosh Hashiva used to tell us, the world, they're waiting for you. The world is waiting for us. Frankly, on that one, we thought he was a little bit overstating it, to say the least. But he was confident. His father told him so. Chazal told him so. He knew the Koyach HaTorah. He knew that the Koyach HaTorah was infinite. He knew that there was nothing that the Koyach HaTorah couldn't penetrate. And he knew about the irresistible urge for Torah in every Yiddish neshama. He knew also about the infinite potential that exists in each and every Jew. And nothing fazed him. It didn't matter how he looked on the outside. It didn't matter how he talked. It didn't matter how resistant he seemed. It didn't matter how antagonistic he seemed. He told us, and he believed it with every fiber of his being, that this neshama is receptive. How many times did we hear Kirach Rashi in the beginning of Parshas, Kirach Pikeach Hoyo, Marol Ishtus Zeh, Kirach starts up with the Nesius of Meshur Abeinu, Abeinu Shalom. How could... What was he thinking? And Rashi explains that Torah saw Beruach Kodshoi b'nevuah, that Shmuel HaNovi was going to come out from his descendants. And that gave him chizuk and said, if Shmuel HaNovi is coming from my descendants, it could only be that I'm right in my battle, in my dispute with Moshe Rabbeinu. So, what Pepper was wrong? Rashi says, what he didn't see, he didn't realize that his children, as they were on their way down in the earth, they did tshuva. That he couldn't foresee. And the Roshiva asked, Korach was such a pikeach. Why couldn't he think of that possibility? He's bringing a raya from the Nevuah that Shmuel HaNovi is coming out of his descendants, and he couldn't think of the possibility that his children maybe would do tshuva the last minute. The Roshiva said, the answer must be, it can't be anything else, that his children were so fatifed in the machlekes. They were so far gone. Their neshomas were so koshur in this battle with Moshe Rabbeinu that it wasn't shaykh to do tshuva. And therefore, it couldn't be they're going to do tshuva. Shmuel HaNovi is coming out. Must be I'm right. But what was Korach's mistake? He underestimated the power of the Yiddish neshomah. He underestimated the receptivity of a Yiddish neshomah. He didn't realize that no matter how involved in machlokes they are, they're always redeemable, they're always reachable. And even at the last moment, everything could change. And the Rosh Hashiva lived this and taught it and inspired it and acted upon it with every fiber of his being. Where did that strength come from? Chazal say, Rashi says, I heard the Messiah from my father. My father heard it from the altar. Such a powerful commitment that nothing will compromise. There was never a situation that couldn't be overcome. There isn't a community that can't be reached. There aren't Talmidim that can't be reached. There's no opposition in the Yiddish and the Shoma that's too strong to withstand the onslaught and the power of Torah Misinai. Well, I think that to answer these questions, maybe we have to view this in two stages. The first stage, the Novi Yeshaya says, he reprimands in his generation the Gedolei Hador, and he calls them Chershim Shemo'u Vo'ivrim Habitu Lirois. He says, you deaf ones, listen. And you blind ones, look at this. And the Novi continues in the Psukim and explains, who were deaf and blind? He's talking about the Arayim, he's talking about Mishulam Avdi, he's talking about the Shleimim B'midos, the Mitzudas learns. He's talking about the Gedolei Hador. And what are they doing wrong? Why is he taking them to task? Rois, Rabois, they see people of their generation and they're not doing anything. They're not being Matztikes Azulas. They're not reaching out. They're not teaching them Torah. They're not welcoming them into the yeshivas. They're not being mashpia on them enough. In the end, the Pasuk says, Hashem chofeit l'man tzidko yagdil Torah v'yadir. And the Mitzvah says, Haloyike chefetz Hashem bochem is lahatztik es azulas. This is your tachlis. This is what it's all about. It seems that if they were Yireim u'shleimim, if they were Shleimim b'midas, if they were the Gedolei Hador, that it couldn't be that they weren't doing everything they could to be mastic the Zulas. Couldn't be. It must be that in fact they were blind and they were deaf. They looked and they saw. What they saw was impossible. I can't do anything. It's impossible. It can't be done. They're so far gone. They're so fatifed in their foolishness that we can't possibly do anything about it. If that's the case, if it was impossible by some perspective of looking at it, then what are you telling him? Hashem chofei tzikar chayfetz Hashem bochem. The Teretz is obvious that when a person knows that this is his tachlis, ikar chayfetz Hashem bochem, this is what you are put here in the world for. that gives us the ability to see and to hear what others can't. That takes people whose intentions were well intended and elevates them to visionary status, to be able to recognize the infinite potential despite what seems an impossibility. And I think this is something that we felt in the Rosh Yeshiva. He had such a sense of mission. He had such a sense of commitment. Commitment to teaching his Talmidim. Commitment to birthing his Talmidim. Commitment to giving over a derech in Torah and in Musa to his Talmidim. Commitment to clarifying issues in Torah. Commitment to giving over the proper hashkofas at Torah. And commitment to Klal Yisroel and to teaching and inspiring his Talmidim to commit their lives to our Bosas Torah and to Klal Yisroel. And in Mele, since this was his mission, there was nothing that was impossible. When we saw obstacles, he saw opportunities. When we saw a brick wall, he saw softness and penetrability. This comes from this depth of appreciation of a mission. But I think that this commitment to mission, together with the commitment to our Botzes Torah, or the protim of our Botzes Torah, and the Ehrlichkeit, and the Chinuch, and Mesiras Nefesh for Talmidim, and the love for Talmidim, and all of everything that we've heard so much about. I think all of this stems from another source. The Rabbeinu Yonah says, and I've heard it quoted so many times from the Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbeinu Yonah says on the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, and the Rabbeinu Yonah points out and he says, Chas v'sholom, that the loymed amanas lalamed isn't interested in learning how to do the mitzvahs. Avada, he wants to know how to do the mitzvahs. But the difference between the lilmoid, the loymed amanas lalamed, and the loymed amanas lasis, is that the loymed almenas lasis is so concerned for every minute diktuk in halacha to get everything 100% straight and clear to understand the depths of the das kel elyon, that he's willing lehatriach es atzmoy yomim vishonim lahasig dover koton. That's the lashon of the Rabbeinu Yonah. He's willing to be matriach himself days and years to comprehend one iota of Torah. And that makes it that kol maisav are amitiyim. Everything he does is emes, because it's drawn from that source of commitment to emes. I believe that it's this commitment to truth. It's this erlichkeit that Rabbi Yosef Farber described, erlich in everything. It's this pursuit of emes in learning. It's this pursuit of emes in Musa, in Shmuis, and even beyond the extreme level that was pursued in learning, because the Musa is Megeel and Maisa, because we're learning Halacha and Hilchas Deis and Hilchas Midas and so forth, and therefore it's Lemaisa we're doing it. It's not just theoretical, and therefore it must be Maisa Amiti, and therefore we have to be Matriach, and some were Yomim Veshonim, certainly many Yomim, maybe Chodoshim. Shavuos for sure, lahasig dover koton, and it's that commitment to emes, and that commitment to emes permeated everything. As far as the Rosh Hashiva's, the Shabbos Rosh Hashiva was concerned, if Chazal said ein mevatlin tinoike shel beis rabban lebinyan beis hamikdash, nothing to talk about. What are we worried about? We have to learn. That's our mission. That's our messiah. Either world. The Rabbeinu Shalalem is his world. If they used to quote from his father, if the Rabbeinu Shalalem wants Torah in the world, there'll be Torah without you. And if the Rabbeinu Shalalem doesn't want it to be, there's nothing you can do about it. We have to do the emes. We have to rise to the call of the hour. And if now it's to learn, then that's what it's all about. And at the moment it's to harbotzas Torah, then everything else becomes secondary. Harbotzas Teira is the call of the hour. That is our responsibility. Mesiras Nefesh for Harbotzas Teira. Giving up to Klal Yisrael. Realizing the infinite potential. Knowing that no matter what the obstacles, and so many of us faced so many, and still continue to face so many obstacles. But it didn't matter. Because that's what we have to do. Because that's our mission. Because Hashem Chofetz Laman Tzidkoi. And that's what our lives are all about. Rav Slabotka wrote a hakdoma to Reb Yisroel Salanter's Maimer on the Kollelim. And in it he brings the Medrash Yalkut Shemoini in Shoftim, in the Maisa Pilegesh Begivo, where the Medrash says that there was a Maisa there, there was a lack of Derech Eretz, and there was a Milchoma that ensued, and 72,000 people from Shevet Binyomi were killed out, and Chazal, in probably the sharpest of language expressions ever, Mi horagoisom, who murdered the 72,000 members of Shevet Binyamin. Sanhedrin gedoylo shehiniach Moshe v'Yoshua u'Pinchos imohem. The Sanhedrin gedoylo that Moshe Rabbeinu left over, and Yoshua and Pinchos were part of that Sanhedrin. Why? How? What happened? Because the Medrash continues when they came into Eretz Yisrael. And they said, Sholom olay nafshi, having memayit be'esik v'asoik b'toiro, have to learn. And they sat, kol echod ve'echod tachas gafno yitein osoik, each one in his own backyard. And he was memayit be'esik. And rather at that moment, because of the need of the hour, they should have gone one day to the north and one day to the south, to the east, to the west, to teach their acherets. And they miscalculated and they didn't. They are responsible for the terrible tragedy that ensued because of the lack of understanding of Derech Eretz. And Chazal placed the responsibility for the deaths of 72,000 members of Shevet Binyamin on the shoulders of the Sanhedrin Gedoyle Shineach Moshe Yeshua Pinchas Imohem. It could only be if the Sanhedrin Gedoyle that learned Torah mipi Moshe Rabbeinu himself, the greatest, the giants of the Dor Deo, when they came into Eretz Yisrael, they still had to learn a Koilu. It could only be that the chiyuv for personal learning and godless in learning is infinite. Infinite. And no matter what level of godless I've learned, I have to continue more and more and more and more. And this is something that we heard so often from the Rashiva. But on the other hand, there's a fine line. When the call of the hour becomes the chiyuv to go out, the ufaratzta that we heard so often, then at that moment we remain responsible for everything that went wrong because we didn't do so. We had to sit and learn that was an appropriate hashkofa. If it wasn't, they couldn't have made such a terrible mistake. But we drew the line in the wrong place. And at the moment that we violated that directive and instead of going out, we continue to learn, we bear responsibility for everything that takes place after that, for all of the ramifications and repercussions, because that's our responsibility. The Rosh Hashiva lived this dichotomy. The Rosh Hashiva taught this dichotomy. The Rosh Hashiva inspired an infinite commitment to this dichotomy. When it's the time to learn, ein mevatlin tinoi k'shel b'yisrael, afilu l'binyan beis hamikdash. And when it's the time to go out, we bear full responsibility and achrayus for Klal Yisrael. And it was with such an intensity. The Rosh Hashiva used to say, the Chazal say that the in Makkos, the imoseim shel kohanim gedolim would bring gifts to the people in the Orei Miklot, so they shouldn't be mispal al b'neim shaloyam usher musu. The people in the Orei Miklot, they go out when the Kohen Gadol dies, they were mothers were afraid that they'd be mispal, so that they should go out earlier, and they therefore they wanted to make it a little nicer to them. Maybe they'll be a little makifer to the mothers, maybe their matzav in the Orei Miklot will be a little bit better. They used to bring in gifts. Frek the Gemara, how could they worry about such a thing? The Pasuk says that a kilas chinom loitovoy. A killas chinom will not come if it's no reason, you have no basis to curse. How could they worry about such a thing? It's not going to happen. And for the Gemara, hoyolahem levakesh rachamim al bnei doiron v'lo bikshu. They should have asked rachamim for their generation and they didn't. Frek the Rosh Hashiva, he says, what does the Gemara's havamina? Akil Laschinon? Everybody does an Aveira. It couldn't be that maybe they never did an Aveira, therefore it's Akil Laschinon. Obviously, there must have been Averas. But Akil Laschinon means, because since you're not guilty to me personally, you didn't ba'avu me, you didn't do anything to me personally, you killed someone, I killed someone b'shogeg, the Kohen Gadol has his own issues, and therefore you have no right to curse me. Your curse will not take hold. What's the Gemara's teretz then? It's not personal. Vaisdeis, it's personal. The Rosh Hashiva taught, the Rosh Hashiva lived, and the Rosh Hashiva inspired that a mani b'Yisroel, a mar b'tzvira, has not only a general achrayas to Klal Yisroel, but a personal achrayas for the welfare in teaching and in reaching and in tefillah for each and every individual ad kidei kach, that the individual whom he didn't reach and maybe whom he didn't even know can come to him and say, I have a tefillah on you, and therefore my klola, rachmono litzlan, is not a kilel aschinom, because I have a personal tefillah. All of this only came from such a sense of truth, a sense of emunas chachomim, a sense of pursuit of truth. In fact, although the Rosh Yeshiva used to say that the Ehrlichkeit in the business office affected the learning downstairs in the Bish Medrash, it seems to me that it worked the other way around. That the learning, the intensity, the bakoshas for emes, the habamina, the maskona, the system, the consistency, the checking out everything, the fine-tuning the lotion, the making sure that everything fits, and that we're searching and searching, yomim v'shonim la'asik dover cotton in Torah, affected what went on in the business office as well. And it affected the midas. It affected all of the Rosh Yeshivas and all of our Maasim Tovim. How many times did we hear from the Rosh Yeshiva the Maisa of Rabban Gamliel? Rabban Gamliel Bakloktsach. Rabban Gamliel is so distressed that he doesn't have a hundredth of the kibbut av of his father, of Esav. He says, Esav used to put on his big day Malchus when he was Machaber his father, and I wear my regular bigodim. The kasha is Abiy, so why don't you put on your big day Shabbos? If you feel so bad that Esav was mechabit so much more, Rabban Gamliel couldn't put on his big day Shabbos to serve his father. And the Rosh Yeshiva answered the Teretz is, he didn't feel it. He wasn't on that level. It wasn't sincere. It didn't really mean anything. It was a superficial action. It wasn't what COVID is really all about, and therefore he couldn't do it. It didn't mean anything if he did it. It would be a lack of integrity. Maybe that's what we say when we say in davening every Shabbos, V'taher li beinu le'ovdecho be'emes. Purify our hearts that we should serve you be'emes. Because if we're not serving you with the purity of heart, then it's avoidas sheker. Then it's not real. The purity, that sincerity, that integrity, that erlichkeit had to permeate everything that we did. It permeates our midas, and it permeates our musar, and it permeates our hashkofa, and it permeates our business, and it permeates our learning. It's erlich in everything. That's what it was all about, because it all stemmed from that midas or emes. One of my sons, when the Rosh Yeshiva was nifter, suggested the following idea, and I just want to conclude by sharing that with you. He says, imagine this giant of Torah, this godless in Torah was unbelievable in this generation. This giant of Harbotzas Torah, his commitment to Harbotzas Torah was so intense, Beyond what anybody could possibly imagine. Imagine if he was offered the opportunity to make 500 yeshivas bevas achas throughout the American continent, throughout the world. And all he had to do was compromise a little bit, you know, like a white lie, like a little bit, if it's a gray area, if it's something in integrity that maybe, yeah, you could justify it. You could find a head there, but a little something. You would think that he would pass the Nisoyim. And this young man suggested, no, he wouldn't have a Nisoyim. It would be a no-brainer there wouldn't be an Israel. Give out 500 yeshivas. So much about the Torah. So much Kiddush Shem Shamayim. Look at that, what it could be done. And all I have to do is one. Because since it all stemmed from the same source of emes, that integrity, that emes, that commitment to emes, whatever the Borei Olam wants from me, I must do, and I must spend Yomim Rishonim to figure out what it is. And since it stemmed from emes, it was emes soyim. With sheker, I'm going to build Torah. With a shemitz of sheker, I'm going to build Torah. No, this way. As Talmidim who are left, as we heard, Yisaimim Beli Av, and we wonder, what's going to be? Where are we going? How will we keep on the straight path? We can only look back to such a legacy, so deeply rooted in Emes, and review it, and relive it, and be mechazik each other in it with the hope that we will be able to continue in some small way to live by these lessons that we so dearly learned and so deeply appreciated. Should be zeicha. This generation should witness a haromas keren ha-teiro. Harbotzas Torah till kol tfutzas Yisroel with an unprecedented sense of molo ha'oretz deyos Hashem kemayim liyam achasim. That the Shishiva's influence should continue to resound ad bias goyel tzedek v'neir v'yameinu v'yihi zikroi v'yameinu.
Thank you for listening to this presentation brought to you by Priority One. Please visit us online at www.priority-1.org. That's priority-1.org, where you can download free audio and publications on parenting, teaching, and teens at risk. For more information or to make a donation, please visit us online or call 800-33-4EVER.